much to sing with all of you. Thank you so much for being a part of this. And you just try to, if you don't mind, we'll have a few moments where we don't have to talk or anything. Because all of the loud sounds that we're doing are always meant to awaken ourselves to the possibility of quiet. That's the whole business with what we say in Unatanatoka. Kol shofar, we hear the sound of the great shofar, and then we hear the kol dmama daka. So this what we're trying to do at this time of year is to learn to hear the still small voices that are around. And that's what our music is for. But you know what? The nigan has no words, and neither does the sound of the shofar. Right? So, but we still listen to the shofar. And so just in case, you know, here's, see all these words on these pages here? That's just so that you can see them. Just so you think, okay, this guy's aware of words. They exist. Good. But the shofar cries out like the nibun. It cries out like from before time even began. You know, before words even existed, there was just the sound of singing. It's the sound, the pure, raw, primeval sound that happened at the beginning of time. The shofar, we know, the ram from the Akedah was made, when was it made? Yeah, that ram was made like right before the first Shabbat of existence, right? And then that ram that was made right before existence even began, before Shabbat even began, it had two horns, and one of them was sounded when? I know you guys know these things better than me, so you might as well just say it. The first one was sounded at already happened at Har Sinai, at Mount Sinai, when the Torah was given. And the second one will be sounded when? When the Moshiach comes. Right, so here we have the shofar as this instrument that never changes, that started before time and finishes after time, and according to the Gemara, can never be changed. You can never futz with the shofar. If it gets broken, you can only fix it with material that comes from itself. It never, ever develops. It's always, it reminds us of something that's outside of the intellect, outside of our own achievements, and outside of everything that we work for, right? And by contrast is the harp. And the harp is this instrument of. Some say that when we all sing together, we actually become the harp of David. Okay, but the harp is the instrument of harmony, and it's the instrument that always develops with time, right? It's as people get better and smarter, their instruments get better, and the harp goes from a simple thing, and it becomes bigger, it becomes a harp, then it becomes a piano, and who knows what it will become in many years, right? It develops, it's technologically based, but the shofar has nothing about it that develops. It's always the same. It's just a cry from out of time. Right? And so is the nigun. So is the nigun. You know, the nigun is just a pure expression of our spirits that goes beyond what any of these words can say, although these hint at it. These get us in the mood. How do you feel about that?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. If it helps you, there's every melody, if you're doing a melody right, it causes you in one place to lift your tuchus out of the chair. This might be that place. You can decide, though.
Hallelujah.
Of the Pesach offering, but when they sang Hallelujah, the roof blew off, right? And so there is this thing with the lift of a melody, so just so you know, I didn't make that up. Okay.
Hallelujah, Hallelujah,
that figure is very big in the Shofrot section of the liturgy coming up on Monday. And that's because it talks about shofar and all the instruments just a little bit earlier. And Kol HaNeshama Tehillah is like, if you could put all the instruments together and sing and then transcend that, you know, that's when you're getting something of the neshama, right? It's all of it and then more, right?
Oh, HaNeshama Hallelujah.
and start singing the other one, that's also good because they both work at the same time. Okay. In fact, let's just make that happen because it sounds pretty sweet. Okay. How about this half of the room? Once you get to the part where we go up for hallelujah, just stay down. Okay. 2, 3, and. The challenge when we're singing words like that is to actually consider, can we actually hear the sounds of the world around us? You know, like, do we hear the prayers and the songs that are coming out of all creation or not? You know, and is all of our song and all of our praying, is it helping us, all of our supplications, are those helping us to hear the supplications of the world around us, of all the creatures in the world, and of all of the everything in the world? Because you know this, I've already told a bunch of people in this room, but my favorite story from Yalkut Shimoni, that King David finishes writing his psalm, he finishes writing Kol HaNeshama Tehel Aliyah, and he stands up after 150 psalms, and he says, God, who writes more psalms and praises than this guy? And immediately a frog jumps up on his lap and says, Ribbit, he says, well, actually, I compose more psalms than you do every minute, more than you've done in your entire life. And he said, not only that, but every psalm, every single praise that I make has 3,000 meanings. And the king sits back down. And, you know, they say that after all of these psalms, after all of these great, after all the shofars are sounded, after everything is, all the instruments come together, and finally the great achievement, the greatest singer of our entire tradition, the Na'im Zmira of Yisrael, was King David. And even he, when he gets to the end of it, has to realize that the rest of the world is singing too. You know, and it has its own prayers and its own pleas. And the only thing that we can do with our songs is to learn to listen and to hear everybody else's songs.
Ah.
hidden things, what are the hidden things that are hidden in our genesis, right? Like, that are hidden up in our little chambers that we've never looked at before. To have emunah, it means to search those things out. Then when we find those things, to try to make some use of them in the world. You guys have been running around for the last month without having much time to think, but I know that I have been. And so if you don't mind, we're also just taking a little quiet time together. Sorry for feeling it so much. It says before Maminim. I don't know what you guys are thinking, but I know that when I see that, I'm like, I don't think everybody's believing. You know, Maminim, like Emuna Shlema, like to have complete faith, right? I don't think I'm believing it either, right? And but the issue is not so much belief in terms of faith. It's belief. The Emuna is not to believe with absolute, complete faith that something is true, but more to do what we can to actually make that true. And that's that's where the creativity and the cultivation comes in. Because emuna refers to amanut, which is creativity and craftsmanship. And it refers to caretaking. Like Mordechai was the omen of Esther. Right, so when we say b'chol ma'aminim, it doesn't necessarily mean that we believe everything. It means that we are trying to step up into making to creatively caretaking and cultivating what the world could be, what we imagine it might be. Right, that's what we're saying when we're saying b'chol ma'aminim. It's like a dream. It's our imagination. It's our hope that can be the case, but that we actually have to do it. And we need to do all these things that we're suggesting that God does, which is that's enough God talk. Okay, one sentence.
When you're tired, love again. It's 1:47.
You know, please, sir.
He's right.
Yeah, what the heck?
No.
if you're leading or you're not leading, you still have an essential role, right? And that is to do exactly what we're doing right now, right? You have to be the one who steps up and creatively cultivates the process of song and spirit in the room, using whatever tools you've got. It's the only way that you can relate the tokef and the power and the kedusha of the yom, right? The only way to do that, it's not like it just happens by itself, although maybe it does a little bit, right? But it really comes about by us creating that.
Yeah.
thank you to Grand Chancellor, who has been leading for this is his 39th year over at Jerusha. And he taught me that melody with him at Hanatoka. And whenever I daven, I can kind of see him and Rabbi David Silver up there, like, doing their head stuff. And I remember it being very powerful when I saw that. And so all of us are resting on all the melodies and all of the sounds that came before us. And we wouldn't be here without any of that. So. I also think at this time of year, my teacher, Cantor Noah Schall, who is an old-time cousin, and he's close to 90 now, and I learned with him for 3 years in order to learn all of the Nusach for the holidays and for Shabbat and for everything. And every time at this time of year, except he moved this year, so I'm trying to find his phone number if anybody has it with him. I'm just kidding. But every year I call him up to say, you know, Cantor Schall, I just wanted to say thank you so much for everything you've taught me, you know, because, you know, it's really a privilege to get to lead the davening on the High Holidays. And he said, so how did it go this year? And this is the guy who never said a good word to me, by the way. The best thing he ever said to me was, well, that didn't irritate me. That didn't irritate me too much. And so he said, so how did it go this year? And I said, well, it went pretty well. I'll get better at this over time. You know, maybe just give me a few more years. I'll probably get it together. And he says, for you, 40 years. But the thing is, he's totally right. It's going to take that long before I think any of us are going to have any idea about what this is really talking about. Except that what's concerning to me is that it's always 40 years away. Today, I had a few ideas about what we might do tonight, and then I came in and about 15 people gave me requests. They're like, we're going to do this, right? So that made me wonder who's in charge a little bit, which is okay, because I don't think any of us are. So if you don't mind, we're going to do a few of the things that folks have asked for, okay? And the first one goes like this. You might be a little bit familiar.
Avinu Malkeinu Thank you.
Mitzvah that he recorded like 10 years ago that everybody around the country had learned from. You know, it used to be that, these are some, by the way, some of the early Hadar recordings, amazing Aryeh Bernstein material. You know, some people say Ein Lanu Melech three times, but there was a little bit of confusion, because if you walk into the room and somebody's saying Ein Lanu Melech, we have no king, they might get confused, right? So therefore, some people have replaced that with saying Avinu Malkeinu three times, and just once Ein Lanu Melech. So if you don't mind, let's sing it one more time, because this is the kind of melody that, well, actually, every melody is this way. But this melody, and every other melody in particular, the more times you sing it, the more it comes alive. And that's actually, you know, if there's anything to take away from Rosh Hashanah, it's that the year comes around, and it comes around again, and it comes around again, and it comes around again, and we always have the same exact liturgy. And we always have the exact same everything. We're always the same person, even if we've changed a little bit, right? The melody also comes around and around and around and around, and our job is always to try to reinvent that melody, right? As we reinvent the melody in the song that is ourselves, right? The song of our own person. This is where we say, you know, Shir Ladonai Shir Chadash. Some say, and there were some Hasidic traditions that you need to actually have in a brand new melody every single Shabbos, or it wasn't really a Shabbos, without a brand new shir, a brand new melody. And others, like the Radak, said that actually it means that you have to renew the melody every time. So it doesn't necessarily mean brand new notes, it just means that the melody has to be fresh, right? And that goes for the entire divine song that we're trying to conjure up in life, right? It doesn't matter how old, how many times it's come around, every time it has a new opportunity for being great, right? For showing us something we hadn't noticed before. It better be that way for life, too, because otherwise, you're pretty boring.
Da da da.
This song is in a scale called Fragish, which in Yiddish means the scale that questions. It's a Frage, from a Frage in Yiddish means question. And this is the kind of sound that allows us to ask questions, right? Well, at least according to, to our teachers. Okay. So it starts like this.
Anana.
We're getting back to it, I'm not getting it all right.
We hear it.
What's that?
We hear it.
you might notice that this is in the same scale as the Vimalakini. Yeah. It's also in the same scale as, for example,
Ikada.
Let's go.
Ikada.
Songs that we're singing, what is the point? Right? It doesn't actually say that.
Yeah.
It says it's very beautiful. It says that there's something above, that we're aiming even above all of the songs.
The point is to get closer.
What's that?
The point is to get closer.
Yeah.
So here's the reference, pass it. Like,
yeah.
Optimist.
Yeah. And if you're the Bald Spieler this coming season, don't hesitate to. This thing only comes up like once a day, okay? Maybe three times a year, four if you count the code. Right? I mean, it's like you barely get to do it, so don't be afraid of getting people to sing that with you, okay? In other words, I'm always like,
Yikada.
I'm doing it with such an annoying face. I do it, you know, let's try that again.
Yikada.
Talking about. when he said you shouldn't change the melodies of your community. Right? When he said leave everything as it is and never change it, because it's all, you know, those are the things that are, they're like me, Sinai, they can't be changed. Okay? And what he was trying to say was, you better take advantage of this stuff. Right? Because it is so beautiful and it runs so deep. Right? So, let's do it. Right?
Yipara.
How is it that we get to turn around and return to whatever it is that we need to return to. In the same way that the shofar itself has to be curved according to the 26th or so page of Rosh Hashanah. At this time of year, we have to use a curved shofar because we also need to be bending ourselves, curving ourselves, and wondering, you know, what is it that we might do a little differently? So our songs, just like the shofar, are meant to curve us around, to turn us inside out a little bit.
Underneath.